Hello, beloved listeners of the Dare Daniel podcast. You're listening to the aforementioned Dare Daniel podcast, where you send us your most sinister movie dares, you sinister sons of bitches, and we suffer the consequences for your sick and twisted amusement, you sick and twisted amusers. I'm Daniel Barnes, famed podcaster.
Yes.
Did I pronounce that right? Is it podcaster?
It is.
That sounds so
and
wrong.
And you got famed right, too.
That's neither of those sound right to me. And with me, as always, is my script says comedian Quirky McDonald. I'm going to go ahead and make a quick edit there. I'm going to go comedy friggin' legend Quirky McFriggin' Donald.
Well, friggin' hi, every friggin' one.
That was two friggins.
Yes, we're friggin' in the riggin' on this one.
I consider yourself John Friggins for tonight's show. You're carrying the ball right into the end zone. You're just bulldozing over people. John Friggins style.
John F. Riggins. All right. Let's rail this track. As Daniel said, on this show, we do your dirty work by watching the most unwatchable movies you can friggin' imagine, and then we review and rate them on our unique system. What is that system? Well, a run-of-the-mill bad film.
Run-of-the-mill? Run-of-the-mill?
That's a whole different website. You're listening right? to the wrong podcast.
That's the other podcast that we have. Listen to our other. Do we watch podcasts? How does that work?
We just race MILFs. That's what it is. It's the running of the MILFs. You go to Chatsworth, California, where they have the annual running of the MILFs. A run of the MILF bad film is rated a dare. We give a double dare to those truly atrocious movies, and we reserve the reverse dare for those despised movies that we think, hey, these are actually pretty good.
Pretty good. Today on the podcast, we are catching up with some of our dares that our listeners have been sending us. Quirky, we've said this over and over again. Dares are our food. And tonight, we feast. Tonight, this is Golden Corral. This is like we haven't eaten in 2 weeks and suddenly it's the whole world of food is just completely opened up to us. This is a food court.
You can't see this at home because this is not a visual podcast, but we are both just laying supine on our backs. Gullets akimbo, and people are just pouring dares down our throats.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It's truly disgusting. But yes, these are our movies that the listeners wish. That's the whole concept of the show. You dare us to watch the worst movies you can imagine. And this is going to be, and I'm very excited about this, this is going to be a new format moving forward. Is that every few months or so, we're going to be doing these dares, and we're going to take the dares off of the actual episodes of the show. Skip those dares and compile them every few months on one of these special episodes. We actually received some feedback that people like it when we get into the movie review a little bit faster on the episode. And I also think that putting dares at the top of the show is maybe a little confusing for new listeners of the show. So I'm actually super stoked on this. It's one of those situations where it's like, it's going to be good for the listeners and it's great for us because it's less work.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And everybody wins.
And it's, we crave feedback like this anyway. So when you can, I mean, quite literally hold our feet to the fire and say, boys, no, none of that shit. We feed you the dares, but we don't want to hear them regurgitated in every episode.
Quit fucking around.
Save that.
Yeah.
Save that for the annual vomitorium episodes where you just spew those dairy goodness back at us. Okay? Let's get Roman with it.
And I also think these episodes, which we'll do these every few months or so, kind of depending on the volume of dares that we get. But I think this is also one of those chances where we can talk about past episodes of the show and anything we miss there. And again, skip that on the actual movie review, the main episodes of the show, and talk about that stuff here. And again, it's just something to get us into the movie a couple of minutes faster, which I think is a good thing about the show.
And the other thing is, you know, not to be too dismissive of the whole format of the show, but we're never going to be able to get to every single dare that we get. And this is a way to talk about these things without ever actually doing an episode for the movie.
Absolutely. And it's a great opportunity to celebrate our listeners. too, and who have been so amazing for us. But Corky, getting back to what I was saying earlier, is there anything in the recent episodes that we haven't talked about that came up since then, or that kind of percolated up in your brain that you wanted to
something
mention?
We were kind of talking about off wax about Jaws, the Revenge, and about what makes a bad movie, a truly really bad movie, not become the Reverse Dare. Like, why does Sleepaway Camp, or why does Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, you know, why do those movies, Battlefield Earth, why are they resoundingly like, yes, that's an awful, terrible movie, but I like it. It sticks with me. I love it. Jaws Revenge could have almost been there for me. And I was examining, like, what kept it from becoming that? For me, a Reverse Dare really picks up steam at the end. It really goes bananas bonkers with the what the F. And that movie danced around it. The opening sequence was just pure what the F. Like, if I had a movie full of that, that would have been amazing.
It couldn't top itself.
Exactly. They came out of the gate swinging on Reverse Dare.
Mm-hmm.
Once you took out the Poirot style, you know, hatching a plot, or no, I should say Moriarty. Once you took out the Moriarty shark where it was hatching a plot, then it just became Mindless Killing Machine, and wasn't as good.
Yeah. It is a funny thing because, it's both a fine line and a wide chasm that differentiates these movies. I almost think it's a certain level of ambition that makes a Reverse Dare, you know? Like, Jaws the Revenge was so content with just being what it was after the opening sequence, which was absolutely just mind-shatteringly insane. One movie I wanted to mention, well, a couple of movies I wanted to mention, The Wedding Planner. Mm. Massimo. All right. During the show, I got it completely wrong. I actually went back and I watched the scene again where Massimo is introduced. Uh-huh. And yes, they met him on their Italian vacation. That doesn't excuse literally anything else that happens with Massimo. Massimo, like, still, if you've never, like, talked to a woman, she's not your fiance. Do you understand that? Like, do you understand that? That doesn't excuse that. That just still makes you a crazy fucking stalker. But yes, I got it wrong. And you know what? I was bragging about how much attention I was paying to the movie, too, and how it was fucking me up.
It almost makes it worse, though, because now when you break it down, you're like, they met him when she was a child on that Italian vacation. How the fuck did he find them again? Like, he has been, I mean, you want to talk about stalker. He has been carrying that address and following through all their moving and phone number changes over the years.
Yeah, well, her dad, Mo Green, says something about he was part of the new arrivals group at their whatever. I don't even know what the fuck, like, he was just at the new arrival. I don't know. Okay. Dad's just sitting at the pier, like, trolling for immigrants. I don't know. Oh, man. The other thing I would mention is that we didn't talk about it during the show, but, like, the movie Marry Me came out, like, right around the same time our episode was made. And that, I haven't watched the film because, my God, why? But there do seem to be a lot of similarities. That is, like, The Wedding Planner 20 years later, where J-Lo's, like, even more famous and even more established as, like, a worldwide superstar. But at the same time, she's still paired with this, like, blonde Texas, like, really, and there seems to be a whole thing about, like, underneath it all, I'm just a regular girl. And isn't, you know, like that, like, why do you need to be a regular girl? Hey, J-Lo, no one cares if you're a regular fucking girl. We know you're not a regular girl. That's why you're J-Lo. I mean, like, have you not figured out the secret to your success is that you're not a regular girl? Whatever. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I watch Peacock. I'm watching, like, Sanford and Son and old, you know, Parks and Rec episodes and stuff like that on Sanford. Peacock, and that preview gets played at every single commercial break. The one other movie I wanted to mention, and I just say this because in our last All Dares episode, which we did, I believe it was last summer, we kind of talked about the most popular episodes in the history of the show. I think we counted down our top 10 of all time and our least popular episodes. We also recently did a rerun of our quote-unquote most popular episode of 2021, which was Food Fight. However, by the time that episode came out, it was completely lapped by another show. And this is like the breakout show, the breakout episode of 2021. And it's so unpredictable, and I don't understand it, but it just keeps getting listens, and I don't know why, and I don't know who, and I don't know where. I don't know which.
Yeah.
Corky, that doesn't make sense. But Skullduggery. Skullduggery. The 1980s Canadian not-a-horror movie about Dungeons and Dragons and a school talent show.
Yeah.
And a guy who says he's going to suck a Greyhound bust through a straw. That episode, like, was huge. That was our biggest show. It was like our biggest show since pre-pandemic.
Right.
It's our biggest show in over 2 years. It's already in the top 10 of all time. I mean, it's just like, and I don't know why. And I don't know where it's all coming from. And I don't know who's like, where they're coming from, but whatever. Skullduggery. Skullduggery.
If you are a particular fan of that episode or you have an idea why, please let us know. Share it with us on social media. Send us an email. Let us know.
We're baffled.
Yes, we cannot figure that. This thing is outperforming.
I thought about this. I have nothing.
Brand new episodes. It outperforms. And this thing was done during the Scare Daniel October months.
Yeah.
It's pretty bizarre.
And it's just out of nowhere. Yeah. It's not like there was any sort of lead up. It just, this one, just like, you know, most of our episodes, they... The fans of our show, they listen to them, and after, you know, a month or so, they kind of just trickle off, and this one is just kind of steadily, people are still listening to it, and I'm curious as to why.
I would be willing to bet good money that of the 100-something movies that we've done, this is probably in the lowest 1% that anybody's ever heard of.
No, I actually think more people have listened to that episode than have watched the film. I think we're at that tipping point right now.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
We're really getting there. But yeah, it's wild. And if you haven't listened to that episode because you were like, "Bah, who cares about this movie?" I don't know. Give it a listen. Tell us what you think.
Tell us what the hype's about.
Yeah, what's it all about, Alfie? Corky, Cockcast.
Hey.
This is like kind of a new feature to the show since we started doing it a little bit before the last Alderas episode, which I think was, again, last August or something
like
that.
Was it Deadly Obsession?
A Deadly Obsession, aka 365 Days. We had the, fuck, I can't remember what the name, but I called it a scumbag PDJ.
Yes, right.
It was the...
the name.
And it was a pretty good
one. Oh, it was good. It was delicious as hell.
I can't remember what the actual name of the cocktail. Oh, it was the Demon Seed cocktail?
The Demon Child.
Demon Child. Yeah. Yes, the Demon Child cocktail. Which was, again, a scumbag PB&J, basically. But yeah, so I've been making these. I've actually 17. We're up to 17 movie-themed cocktails that I've made over the last, like, 9 months or so. 9 months or so of the podcast. And I thought for this very special episode, I would resurrect one of our favorites that we've made. These movie-themed cocktails that I made. Themed to the movie we're reviewing that week. Corky, so I made you up a batch of... and you said you like this one a lot,
yes,
too. The Time Thief... cocktail, the Time Thief, the T-H-Y-M-E thief of From Justin to Kelly fame.
Hey.
Because that movie, like so many of the movies that we review on the show, was a time thief.
Yes.
But this is also a time thief because there's a time simple syrup that I made. And extra level, I snuck out. I didn't tell my wife. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go out to your garden and cut out some of your thyme that's still growing out there. So I'm a time thief too. Don't you get it? Time thief? Time thief? Time thief!
So many levels, Dan, of time
thievery. There's layers and layers to this thing. It's unbelievable. But there's also layers and layers to this cocktail. And what I think I like about this is that a lot of the ones I make for the show are like kind of needlessly convoluted just to like fit a theme. This is a pretty simple cocktail. You could make this one pretty easily. There's 6 ingredients in it. There's gin. I used a different gin. Last time it was St. George Botanivore gin. This is New Alchemy Floret gin, so it's a little more floral.
I taste it.
But of course, I'll put the recipe in the post for the show, as I always do. And again, this one's pretty easy to make. So if you make this one and you like it or you don't like it, let us know. I'd love to get some feedback on these.
Another level to the time thief. I have to steal myself for the time I'm going to be spending with this cocktail. Thank you.
Perfect.
Time thief.
Time thief.
Rated
but it's a
R.
Lovely cocktail, isn't it?
It's delicious, and it's so...
Hits that balance right where you want it to. It's a great springtime
cocktail,
too.
That's it. That's exactly what I was going to say. And I'm a gin man, so I can drink this whole thing quick.
There you go. Corky. Dares. This is going to be a pretty big meal, and I went heavy out of the box.
Ooh.
You're not waiting on the catharsis. You're just like... I'm going to put a big porterhouse steak right in front of you.
Okay.
Right away. Right away.
We're starting with the old 96er. Yes. Okay.
We're really getting into it.
If we finish this one, we get the rest of the deers free.
Heads up. Maybe even get out your handkerchiefs.
Oh, boy.
For this one. We do not get emotional on the show. Unless the emotions are really, truly. get a little bit of just something real, real sappy playing. We don't get emotional on this show very often, unless the emotions are boredom and rage. But this there is actually very touching, so we're just going to get right into it. We got this one very recently from Samantha Kidd. Hey. Samantha, welcome to the Dare Daniel podcast, Samantha. What do you got for us? She's got a movie called Biker Boys. That's boys with a Z. That's right.
They're tough.
So get hyped. Already excited for this one. 2003 film directed by Reggie Rock Bythewood. Stars Lawrence Fishburne, Derek Luke, and Orlando Jones. Why, Samantha, do you want us to watch Biker Boys with a Z? First off, I have to say thank you. I recently found your podcast while in the hospital for an extended period of time for a transplant. I was looking for new podcasts and found yours. I've been listening through the whole back catalog and love you guys. I've laughed so hard a few times, I was worried I would rip out my stitches. Aww. So thank you and keep it up. She continues, I dare you guys to watch 2003 movie Biker Boys, yes, with a Z. I first saw this movie as a teen and thought it was the shit. I loved this movie. I watched it again a few years ago and was shocked at how truly atrocious it is. I still love it for the nostalgia and embarrassingly probably still watch it once a year, but I've yet to meet any other human being who has or is willing to watch this piece of trash. The movie has a strangely great cast of fairly well-known actors, which just makes it even more ridiculous. You have Lawrence Fishburne schmacting his way through this, Lisa Bonet high the whole time to even fake an attraction to Lawrence Fishburne, Orlando Jones playing a lawyer named Soul Train, Kid Rock, who I think just drove by the set one day and decided to join, Jaimin Hunsu, who is way too good for this movie and everyone knows it. I don't even know how to describe the plot except to say it has lots of bike races, fun stunts, seemingly illegal biker gang activities that are never actually explained, a biker court scene, silly family drama, Kid Rock trying really hard not to be racist, and the most anticlimactic ending of all time. It has the iconic line, "Do you know what we call bikers in the ER? Organ donors." A line that still gives me a hearty laugh on each rewatch. I don't know how I can adequately describe both my love and hatred of this movie, and I'm dying for someone else to experience, so I dare you guys to give it a watch. Fantastic.
Yes, Samantha. Absolutely.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, and I hope everything's going well with you. I'm so happy that you have found the show. I'm curious how you found the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'd love to hear more from you.
Sorry about the stitch ripping. We hope we've helped you through the healing process.
We're going to be 25% less amusing from here on out. These are going to be mild chuckles and not the hearty kind of laughs that could pop your stitches. We're going way more into like a wry Stephen Wright sort of like we're going to really downplay.
Just kind of like, huh, yeah, okay, I get it.
Just like Dave Barry, like funny.
We're going
right?
for
like
it's bemused just, nods. That's what we're
yes,
going for.
We're
going
to talk about human foibles.
Oddly enough, Dan and I's original morning drive time radio DJ names were Light Chuckles and Hardy.
Amazing that's this podcast started like that.
Exactly.
It's just, what a history we have together.
Des Moines. Remember Radio Des Moines? God damn.
Oh, boy. I cannot set foot in Iowa.
WKZU the Zoo.
No. The things I did to the Field of Dreams field, they consider me a war criminal in Iowa. It's pretty awful. Wild times. Wild times. IMDb said
that. Tim Busfield still has a restraining order on you, doesn't he?
Maybe. I can't talk about it.
That's true.
IMDb synopsis of Biker Boys with a Z. A son of the leader of a legendary group of an urban biker gang tries to retain his championship title. His championship title of what?
It's the son of the leader of the legendary group.
It's the son of the leader. I'm going to win my champion, retain my championship?
Is he a championship son? Is that the what he's the champion son?
I don't know. Is it whose championship title is he retaining? We don't know. But thank you, Samantha, for the dare.
Really, thank you so much. That was a wonderful dare. Speaking of wonderful dares, here comes dare number two. This one comes from one of our good pals, friend of the podcast, big-time contributor, longtime friend, Julio from the Contrarians podcast.
Julio.
Yeah, fantastic podcast, movie review podcast. You should take a listen.
Julio has brought some great dares to us in the past. Christmas with the Cranks, I do believe, was a Julio dare.
He compares every bad movie to that.
As well he should. And as I've gone on record, this show is the record, as saying, I think that's maybe our most underrated episode.
Yeah, that was a fantastic.
I think that was a killer episode that deserves to be in that pantheon. So listen if you haven't.
Julio dared us the Happy Time Murders. This is a 2018 mix of live action and puppets directed by Brian Henson, starring Melissa McCarthy, Elizabeth Banks, and Maya Rudolph. What does Julio have to say about the Happy Time murders? He says, "Come on, guys. I need more people to side with me on this one. It's an okay puppet comedy with some really funny bits and some not so great ones. But isn't it a shame that we didn't get a follow-up and that we didn't get more of this world? Why all the hate?"
Have you seen this film?
No, see, this is the one of those things that is up my alley. This sounds like you were talking about ambition. This sounds like one of those, like, all right, let's go for this. Let's see what this.
Sure.
And it would be one of those things that I like all the people in it. It seems like it would be a fun idea, but I've never heard a good thing about it.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, Julio is really being the contrarian on this one, because I have not seen the film, but the critical consensus is that it's pretty darn bad. Just thinking about it, I mean, to me, it does sound interesting, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, well, Meet the Feebles happened and Team America World Police happened. Is there another, have we not explored this adequately? Like, what are we going to do with R-rated puppets?
I don't know. I think like that. Julio's exalted praise of it's an okay puppet comedy. That's worth examining. That's about the most positive review I've ever heard of the show.
That's a rave.
It's an okay puppet comedy.
Right? But great there. Thank you,
Julio. Thank you, Julio. Keep them coming.
Yeah, so Julio was being the contrarian by suggesting Happy Time Murders. Our next dare is not being so contrarian. This movie was raked over the coals, as far as I know. Guido Schadenfreude.
What a name.
What a fantastic listener. Yes. Loyal listener, Guido. Yeah.
Very complex parental ancestry with your name like Guido Schadenfreude.
Guido Schadenfreude. Absolutely. He is going to take pleasure in the failure of Moonfall. Yes. Moonfall. This is a 2022 disaster movie. It is directed by Roland Emmerich. Stars Halle Berry and Patrick Wilson. Why, Guido Schadenfreude, do you want us to watch Moonfall? He says, "I haven't been to a theater in 2 years because, well, you know. And after seeing this, it may be another 2 years before I decide to spend money in a theater. I checked when I got out, and this is not listed as a comedy on IMDb. It's a disaster of a disaster movie. The volume is set to 11, the acting to 2. IMDb synopsis of Moonfall. And literally, Quirky, the moon does fall. This is what I understand. What is apparent from the. This is. It's not symbolism. The moon falls. Like, the moon falls, but it falls. Like, it literally falls on the earth. Mysterious force knocks the moon from its orbit and around Earth and sends it hurtling on a collision course with life as we know it. Mm. Moonfall. Have you seen Moonfall? Do you know Moonfall?
Moonfall.
No. This just came out earlier this year. It's Roland Emmerich, and it's very much in the what is the Roland
Emmerich? Day After Tomorrow.
Day After Tomorrow, 2012. Yeah. I can't remember that last one that he did.
Did he do
the Independence
World War Z
Day movies? No, that was Merc Forster.
But he does those big CGI spectacle disaster movies.
CGI, a lot of outer space, a lot of the world, everything blowing up, and everybody dying. Gotcha. So good time at the old movie house. He's not so good. And apparently Moonfall is pretty bad. So that's a good dare.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, after listening to the show, you know, you guys hit us up on the social media. We call it the Schmeed. Mm-hmm. Saves time. Saving time. Saving time right Critical. Now. By explaining.
I mean, it's huge. Practically a time thief thing.
Every second. We're stealing time.
Yes.
Don't you get it? But yeah, if there's a dare that you hear that you're like, oh my God, yes, I second that. I third that. I amend that, whatever. Yeah, hit us up with your feedback on these dares. So you might hear one that you're like, oh my God, yes. That actually happened on our last dares episode. There, we got like seconds and thirds for old fashioned. Uh-huh. We read that one and I was like, okay, we never have to think about this again. And then several people were like, oh my God, old fashioned. Yeah, I definitely review old fashioned. And we did.
Dare number 4 comes to us from one of our favorite married pair of supporters, Corrine and Charlie, and the only documented certified people responsible for bringing a child into this world while listening to the podcast. I mean, not
both conception and
I don't know about that first part.
I don't know.
I mean, who's to say? You know, I'll take it. Their movie Dare is The Accidental Husband. This is a 2008 movie directed by Griffin Dunne, starring Uma Thurman, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and Colin Firth. Why did Corrine and Charlie dare us The Accidental Husband? Well, I think this is Corrine. Otherwise, Charlie speaks in the third person. A couple weeks ago, Charlie stumbled across a post about movie posters with Photoshop fails. The Accidental Husband was on this list. It looked awful and was streaming for free, so we decided to give it a try to see if it was worthy of Dare Daniel. Charlie fell asleep almost immediately, which is, now I really want this to be from Charlie, because he's daring us a movie and tell us about how he fell asleep. Charlie fell asleep almost immediately, but the absolutely bonkers plot kept me on the hook. Uma Thurman is a knockoff Dr. Laura who falls on her ass for 90 minutes. Colin Firth is a perfectly nice guy, but the movie desperately tries to convince you that he is so dull that he deserves to be cheated on. And the other guy is a firefighter, so yeah, much more fuckable. The ending was so ridiculous that I tried to show it to Charlie the next day, but he fell asleep again. The IMDb synopsis for The Accidental Husband. When talk radio host Emma Lloyd advises one of her listeners to break up with her boyfriend, the jilted ex sets about getting his revenge. That sounds nothing like the movie that Corrine described.
No, but I don't know. Maybe somebody fell asleep writing that synopsis, most likely. They got like halfway through. They're like, yeah, I forgot that we established on our last All Dares episode last year that Corrine and Charlie's son is one day going to come to murder
us. That's right.
I completely forgot about this baby who's going to murder us. That's crazy.
There can only be one, and he...
There can only be one. It is one podcast.
His birthright.
To rule the ball.
And he will,
I completely forgot. He's still just a little baby, right? We don't really have to. Like, we got a few good years left, right?
But he does have older brothers, so, I mean...
God. He's got a whole team. Yes. They got... We're outnumbered.
We got about 12 years of this in us, and then one day we're just going to get that little knock on the door.
Yeah, right? It's just like Beatrix Kidd just showing up at your door all of a sudden. A
trench coat with obviously three kids stacked inside. It's a nice podcast awesome. You got there. Be a shame if somebody took it over.
Oh, my God. I have actually seen The Accidental Husband.
Okay.
Can you believe that? This was like periods of my life where I was a working film critic and watched just like about everything that was out in theaters. And yeah, this was 2008, it was 2009 maybe when it came out. At this time I was doing a lot of DVD reviews, so it was probably 2009 when I saw it. But yeah, it is absolutely awful. It truly, truly, like, The Wedding Planner is a masterpiece compared to The Accidental Husband. It is really, really wretched. And talk about, like, miscalculating your romantic comedy audience. Colin Firth is the guy that, like, nobody gives a fuck about. Like, really? That's, like, what? It's, like, catnip to the people who watch this fucking show. It's, like, and they're the cats from
he's
Cats.
He's in several of the most, like, successful romantic comedies of the 21st century. And he's the lead, or at least the sexual object in a few of them, in all of them.
Yeah, but in this one, he's boring. So go have sex with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Oh my God, this was at the time when I guess someone thought Jeffrey Dean Morgan was going to be a thing. But yes, I share your pain. This is a brutally, 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 brutally bad movie. But thank you very much for the dares and for listening.
Thank you guys. Yeah, we love you very much.
Next Dare is another great supporter of the show, great friend of the show.
Absolutely.
Frequent Dare. He's supplied some of our finest episodes of all time. Spookies.
Yes.
That was him. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. That was him. What am I missing? Something else? That was super good. It's memorable.
Yeah, I don't remember.
What do you got for us? Ryan L. Terry. How did hashtag find Ryan go?
Well, when we get to... So Ryan's movie is Showgirls. That's the movie he's daring us.
Yes.
And I really wish we could have shown the guys to Ryan a little bit more.
Show guys.
It flamed out. Like, I didn't get any responses. It might have been confusing that I was trying to secure boyfriends from a man.
I was confused.
And, you know, but I didn't even get any takers. Maybe that was it. They saw my ugly face.
Yeah, no, don't lead with that.
Yeah, nobody's like, I'm dating that. No.
No, right? Like, no, it's my friend, Ryan.
No, this is
I'm
not weird.
Ryan. I'm not Ryan.
Why? Why are you making this weird? I'm just trying to find a boyfriend for my friend. That is not his picture.
Who lives in Southern Florida? Yes. I don't live on that side of the continent. But yes,
someday it's going to happen. We're going to get you that guy, and then we're going to be invited to the wedding, and it's going to be wonderful.
I can't wait. I still say hashtag Ryan's babe was the way to go, just so you could have got fans of that film. You know what I mean? You'd be piggybacking on an existing.
Oh yeah, hashtag. On the franchise Ryan's babe. Yeah, sure.
But yes, Ryan L. Terry, he's known as the professor of horror. He's still working on that doctorate, working diligently. Still, I mean, it's not, do you know how many years you have to put in to get a doctorate in horror? I don't. Ryan might not exist. Probably doesn't exist, but we support you, Ryan. What do you got for us? He's got Showgirls. Showgirls, 1995 film. Yeah, that Showgirls, directed by Paul Verhoeven, written by Joe Esterhaus, Elizabeth Berkley, Kyle MacLachlan, Gina Gershon. You know. What do you got for us, Ryan L. Terry? He says, hey guys, I'm back. And this time, not with a horror movie. He's taking a break from his doctorate. He's on a sabbatical. You're off. Not a horror movie, but a controversial movie many have argued to be one of the worst movies of all time, certainly of the 90s. We're told it ruined careers and launched others. I'm of the opinion that Showgirls was simply ahead of its time because Hustlers was praised for doing what Showgirls did over two decades prior. I believe that if Showgirls was released today with a few tweaks here and there, it would be heralded as a brilliant motion picture steeped in social commentary on humans as commodities and the cost of stardom. Some, including myself, have compared Showgirls to All About Eve. If nothing else, this movie Dare will prove to be a hit with your fans who will be on the edge of your seats to see where it falls on the Dareometer. Corky, Showgirls.
I've literally never seen Showgirls.
Boy, yo. What?
Yeah, exactly. You.
Well, I'm on Ryan's side on this one. I'll go further than Ryan. I think this is a great movie.
Yeah, you're a fan.
There's a book about this movie called, I think it's called It's Not That Bad, that someone wrote, which is like a defense of the movie. But I would go further and say it's really, really good and maybe even great. And yes, I agree with him. It is a movie about humans as commodities, about the cost of stardom. It is comparable to All About Eve. But that movie was just, it was swimming in bad press. From the second it was conceived until the second it came out. Like, people were just absolutely salivating to get all over that one. And of course, they just can't get past the fact that it is on superficially trashy. It is, but it's sublime trash.
Yeah, but that's,
it's absolutely sublime.
That's Joe Esterhaus, right? I mean, superficially really trashy.
Absolutely. And he found his greatest collaborator in Paul Verhoeven, because Verhoeven is just a brilliant visual filmmaker. He's a filmmaker who's always willing to like take it a step further. But he's also, I think, like a really brilliant satirist.
Yep. He's always working on a couple levels, like the Time Thief.
he's doing Time Thief level work. Ryan, I'm absolutely with you. I would be happy to talk Showgirls for an hour and a half with Corky.
Yeah, since I've never seen it, then maybe that'd be a good, you know.
Yeah, that might be one to work. I mean, I've seen it.
Type of thing.
Several times. Or student tells the master, you're full of shit.
Also, just Ryan, I'm about to go out and patent this Dareometer thing that we got. So expect your 10% check any moment, buddy.
I'm going to start working on blueprints for the Dareometer.
Thank you, Ryan. Miss you.
You're the best.
Dare number 6 comes to us. Now, this name is spoken in hushed tones, in respect.
Oh, boy.
It's almost vying for Hall of Fame head level because the dares that this man has brought us have been some of the most bananas, bonkers, crazy movies and fun episodes that we've had. Yes, you know him as the Pearson. He's Gunnar Pearson. That's who's dared us this movie. I don't know what the Pearson means, but...
But yeah, Gunnar, of course, has brought us A Deadly Attraction, which we talked about earlier. Fateful freaking Findings, for fuck's sake. What was the other big one that he did? Old Fashioned. Well, he was kind of... He seconded Old Fashioned.
And there's several that we haven't done, but he gave us his like...
I feel like there's one other one in there as well. But yeah, Gunnar, you've been amazing. You're always bringing the heat with these dares.
His news there is Felix the Cat, colon, the movie. This is a 1988 animated feature directed by your guy, Tibor Hernardi.
Tibor.
Why did Gunnar Darris Felix the Cat call in the movie? Felix the Cat colon the movie is what would happen if Dr. Seuss hated children and he wanted to make a way for parents to punish their children without actually beating them. The animation, sound mixing, and dialogue all filled me with pain. The only positive thing I can say about this movie is that there is never a dull moment. That said, I hated this movie and I need to share the pain. IMDb synopsis for Felix the Cat colon the movie. In another dimension, the villainous scientist Duke of Zill, with the help of his mechanical geometric army, takes over the land of Oriana, prompting Felix the Cat to save its princess and restore order once again. Wow.
His geometric army. In other words, we didn't finish animating.
Oh. Good point.
We're going to pass this off.
I've never heard of this. Have you seen this?
No, and the sounds.
What if you were like, yeah, Corky, actually, I'm fucking a big fan of this one. You know what?
Yeah.
It's better than Showgirls.
I have Duke of Zill tattooed on my fucking, I have tramp stamp Duke of Zill. No, like, looking at just, I went to the IMDb page and just looking at it, reading the synopsis, it just looks like very difficult to watch, I'm sure. And nothing you would expect from Felix the Cat, colon, the movie.
We're going
to
get in one of those stretches where we're like, well, what, we've done a new one. We've done a romance. Yeah. We've done a horror movie. What do we want to do? It's like, and I'll get like really, like, I want to torture myself a little bit. Let's watch Felix the Cat, the movie.
Let's do Felix the Cat. Let's get in there. And we did watch Food Fight.
Yeah, that's true.
That turned out
pretty I don't know that anything could be worse than Food Fight. That movie is an assault on the eyes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the new bar to clear for animated movies. But yes, Gunnar, you are the man. You're killing it. Keep bringing the heat. This is, I mean, we're like halfway through the meal here, and I'm just like, I'm full, but it's so good.
I'm waving over the bucket, boy. I want to.
I'm just like, yes.
Puke in the bucket real fast. And then we're.
Oh, bucket boy.
Oh, bucket boy.
Saunter over here.
Pale person.
Next dare comes to us from Suzanne. Suzanne with a Z, just like boys with a Z. Suzanne, what do you got for us? She's got Tusk. Tusk. This, of course, the fabulous. Mm-hmm. Wildly underrated double album from Fleetwood Mac. Follow up to Rumours, so I get why people weren't
as sure.
Wait, hang on. This is the 2014 film written and directed by Kevin Smith. That makes a lot sense.
Yeah, that's great.
That tracks for this show. Stars Justin Long, Michael Parks, and Johnny Depp. Why do you want us to watch this thing, Suzanne, with a Z? She says, I dare you not to laugh at how awful it is.
Mm.
Damn.
Right in there.
IMDb synopsis of Tusk, a brash and arrogant podcaster.
Hey.
That sounds familiar.
Hey.
My ears are burning. Brash and arrogant podcaster gets more than he bargained for when he travels to Canada to interview a mysterious recluse who has a rather disturbing fondness for walruses. Corky, Tusk,
sure.
Have you watched it? Do you love it? Do you know it? Do you live it? Do you sleep it? Do you dream
it's
it?
It's pretty good.
Talk about it in the morning.
It's pretty good considering Lindsay Buckingham and Stevie Nicks were still split up at this point.
No, but wrong Tusk. What? That's the wrong Tusk
damn
again.
Damn it. Shoot.
No, that's we like that.
Yeah, Tusk. That Tusk is pretty good.
It's good. It's got, you know, it's long, it's epic, it's sprawling, but I thought it was pretty good.
I do not know this movie because I stopped paying attention to Kevin Smith somewhere right after Dogma.
Yeah, wisely so. I have seen Tusk. I believe I actually reviewed it. I will put a link to my review if it exists in the post for the show, and it is quite terrible. Kevin Smith, he's bad.
And he's gotten worse.
He somehow got worse. It was like, well, he'll get better, right? Because, you know, he's just an amateur filmmaker. You know, Clerks, all right, it's rough. But, you know, what are you, like a director or anything? No. And then the more work he got and the more professional he got, somehow it got worse. Yeah, it got I don't know. Worse. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think it was once he started smoking a lot of pot. He just...
And he gave even less of a fuck about
bad
how bad
idea
it was.
To its very illogical conclusion and didn't make those conclusions satisfying.
Not so much. Great dare, though, Suzanne.
Thank you.
And Suzanne, I think this is the first dare you've sent us, Suzanne with a Z. So keep sending us more. We love it.
Yeah, keep feeding us.
It's good. It was a tasty little little morsel of a dare.
All right, we're on dare 8 because we just polished that plate off. This is getting served up by Carolyn. Carolyn is a frequent contributor to the show, right? Donator, supporter on the PayPal?
Donator, supporter, dare, all around good person.
Thank you, Carolyn, for being that. Her movie is The Crow, Wicked... Lots of colons happening. The Crow, Wicked Prayer. This movie is from 2005 and was directed and co-written by Lance Mungia. It stars Edward Furlong. So Stars is doing heavy lifting. Stars, sure. Edward Furlong, David Boreanaz, Tara Reid, and Dennis Hopper. A literal nightmare of casting. The fourth and to date final film adaptation of James O'Barr's comic book series. Why did Carolyn dare us The Crow, Wicked Prayer? She says, there is so much to say about this movie, yet I am speechless. Like all the greats, this film raises more questions than it answers. And most of those questions are, what the fuck? The IMDb synopsis for The Crow, Wicked Prayer. On his way to becoming an immortal demon, a gang leader orchestrates the murder of an ex-con and his girlfriend. Dan, Crows, Wicked Prayers, do you know anything about either?
Crows. Well, I'm going to eat some crow. Whoa. And no, that didn't. That set up. Sorry. I have seen The Crow. I don't think it's a good movie. I think it's a pretty
good movie.
You
saw The Crow, or you saw The Crow, Wicked Prayer?
I have not seen The Crow, Wicked Prayer.
You've seen The Crow.
I saw The Crow, which was like cobbled together using doubles and CGI and stuff because, of course, Brandon Lee was tragically killed on set. When he made The Crow, they released it anyway. It's a bad movie. And they somehow were like, more. Make more. Make three more and have a different crow every time.
It would have been a forgettable B movie that you caught every Sunday on cable had it not been for the tragic backstory of Brandon Lee's death on set. That movie, that fact led to several sequels. How? And then we got to people like Edward Furlong.
Edward Furlong. Oh my God.
I don't want to watch Edward Furlong do anything.
No, you definitely don't want to watch him be a crow. But Carolyn, you're the best. We love you. And thank you for the dare. And keep them coming.
Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Next dare. We're bringing heavy hitters. These are heavy, heavy hitters.
From the past.
I don't think they get any heavier than this hitter or any more hittier than this heavy. And it's producer Johnny.
Hey!
It's Joe Flo. Joe Flo, Johnny Flores, the man, the legend, the podcast producer. Podcast kingpin?
Podcast,
is that fair to say?
I think we benighted him podcast doula for bringing this podcast into the world.
And he'll take us right out of it, too, if we don't watch our steps. I brought you into this world? I'll take you right out.
Bitch, you got me while I was taking a drink.
Like, you're going to get one across your lip. Sanford and Son. Come on.
You big dummy.
How'd you like one across your lip, you big dummy? Remember when I used to do voices on the show? I don't do voices that much anymore. You go back and listen to the early episodes. Like, the Renaissance Man episode is just me doing a terrible Danny DeVito impression. For an hour.
It sounded nothing like Danny DeVito, but you embodied him so well.
That's the method acting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not doing an impression. I am.
Yes.
This is my interpretation.
I believed you as a failed ad exec.
and I am in real life too. So that's what's so amazing.
Who quips every line of dialogue.
Just this acerbic quipping. Whip. I'm a quipper. Johnny, what do you got for us? Johnny's got Rabbit Test. Rabbit Test. That's the movie. It's from 1978, directed by Joan Rivers, her only film. Stars Billy Crystal and Alex Rocco, a.k.a. Mo Green, a.k.a. Salvatore, the guy who hangs out at the pier trolling for immigrants in The Wedding Planner.
The guy who measures his sleeping daughter in The Wedding Planner while his friend watches from another room. There was something deeply disturbed going on with Salvatore.
So bad. So bad. Why do you want us to watch Rabbit Test, Johnny? He says, I never even knew Rabbit Test existed until just now. Just now. This is like a real time dare. Yeah. I mean, just seconds after I discovered this movie and read the synopsis, I said out loud, oh shit, I have to dare Corky and Daniel to watch this movie. Billy Crystal, making his film debut, stars as a young man. This is Billy Crystal of Father's Day fame, I might add. Billy Crystal, making his film debut, stars as a young man who becomes pregnant after losing his virginity. What? Joan Rivers directed, co-wrote, and partially self-funded the movie. She made this movie a full 16 years before Ivan Reitman made Junior. What a trailblazer. I've been watching the movie as I'm typing. In the first few minutes of the movie, a kid calls Billy Crystal a pervert, and an old woman in a mini pearl hat flashes him as he exits a bus. I know in my heart that this movie is uncut, pure, Dare Danielness. IMDb synopsis of Rabbit Test. Lionel's life turns around after a one-night stand on top of a pinball table. Good God, like Jodie Foster.
Jesus Christ.
He becomes the world's first pregnant man. Exclamation point. Corky, Rabbit Test. Huge fan?
I don't know Rabbit Test. I do know that this movie, the poster for it, was up in the independent VHS store that we used to go to when I was a kid. It was one of those movies that you always saw, but I was like, does that movie exist? I've never even heard of that movie.
What is this?
Yeah. But I will go on record. I'm on record as hating Billy Crystal, so this might be a good one for us to watch.
Serve it up. Yeah, and spoiler alert, I will say, 2 weeks from now, get ready for Rabbit
Test.
That's happening.
That's awesome to hear from producer Johnny. I love that. Thank you for the dare, Johnny.
Yeah, even though he doesn't listen to our show anymore, he only listens to Conan O'Brien's podcast. What the fuck?
I don't know. What a sellout.
What a sellout. Fuck Conan O'Brien and fuck you. No, we love you, Johnny. You're the best.
Guy gives us a dare. We just start trashing him.
How dare you listen to another podcast that isn't ours? No, Johnny, you're the best.
We love you, Johnny.
You're the show would not exist without you. You're the man. And my God, go back and listen if you didn't listen to it. Episode 100.
Yes.
Episode 100, moment by moment with Johnny Flores. It's a special, special show.
Dare number 10 comes to us from a big supporter of the show, social media engager, Dean Longenecker.
Schmied Engager. This episode's running long.
You saved so much time by reminding me to say Schmied and us describing what Schmied is again.
It's
Dean also recently dared us Jaws the Revenge.
Oh, yeah. Dean. Well done, old man.
Very good, old Bean.
Well done, old man. I'm trying to cultivate a whole Great Gatsby thing, so I'm going to call people old man from now on.
Yeah.
Is it? Be familiar with him. I'm going to wear white suits.
Drink gin Rickeys.
Drive large cars.
Live in West Egg.
I'm living in West Egg, baby.
Dean's dare is for Viva Knievel. This is a 1977 movie directed by Gordon Douglas, starring Evel Knievel, Gene Kelly, and Lauren Hutton.
Gene Kelly. What?
Why did Dean dare us Viva Knievel? He says, in honor of Corky, I subjected myself to this 1977 dud. I can't even in good faith recommend this to anyone unless they like being tortured. Everything that's bad about 70s movies is in here. Soundtrack, clothes, acting, and especially the plot. Kill Knievel so they can smuggle cocaine across the border with the body. Feel sorry for the cast, which is pretty good for the time, having to be involved with this movie. IMDb synopsis for Viva Knievel. He's powered his Harley over cars, trucks, lions, infernos, and plummeted headlong into a canyon. But if the mob has its way, his next incredible leap will land him 6 feet under.
My God. Have you seen this movie?
I have not seen this movie, but Gene Kelly, he did what? This and Xanadu back to back.
Xanadu, right? This was in his I'll Be in Anything.
You know, Gene Kelly was just like, apparently it's what the kids love. These kids are crazy for these motorcycle jumping freaks on roller skates.
All right. This is the way the world's going. I'm going to do it. Yeah.
I've never seen
Viva weird third act for Gene Kelly in his career. He was also like a choreographer on like Madonna's tours and stuff like that.
No.
He was like a guest choreographer. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, on her real sex phase.
The Truth of Dare Madonna?
her sex book phase. Remember she had a book called Sex? Yes.
Big Daddy Kane was naked in that book. Like, how random is that?
Also random. And Vanilla Ice.
And Gene Kelly.
Cool as ice.
Gene Kelly.
And Gene Kelly. Looking good.
Spread.
He was 87. He looked good. I haven't seen this movie either. I'm curious about it. It actually aired on TCM.
Really?
Like a week or two ago. So it's on the old DVR.
They're contractually obligated to show every Gene Kelly movie.
Yeah, right. I don't know what the hell was happening that they decided to show this. Sometimes they'll do a theme night and some random movies come out. But I am curious about the film.
I am curious.
Just too. Given the time and the person. And there just seem to be like a lot of these like star ego kind of vehicles that also were like really, really weird too at the same time. Cause like the Muhammad Ali movie that came out right around this time too, The Greatest.
This is the cool as ice of its time. It's like, okay, there's this hot commodity. Right. We don't really get what the thing is, but we're going to build something strange around him.
Yeah.
And we're going to kill him and put cocaine in his body and smuggle it across the border.
Oh, God, if only that was the plot to Cool as Ice. just murdered in the first 5 minutes.
It's Cool as Ice, but it's about the drug ice.
It's just... Remake!
Thank you for the dare, Dean.
Awesome dare. So good. Quirky, we talked about Gunnar Pearson.
We did.
And how he's Pearson... our hearts with his dare gun. Damn it.
You were almost there.
I was really close.
If you
close.
Had done it in Danny DeVito's really voice, I think you could have sold it.
Gunnar Pearson? What do you got for us, Gunnar? Gunnar's back. He's got another dare. He's hot with the dares. He's hot with the dare. Quirky, he dared us Felix the Cat, colon, the movie. How about Cat Woman? What? Catwoman. Oh, that's a thing. Catwoman, of course, she's been on screen many times in the old Batman movies. Michelle Pfeiffer, Batman Returns, Anne Hathaway in The Dark Knight Rises, and now Zoe Kravitz in The Batman is Catwoman. Selena Kyle, a.k.a. here.
Julie Christie also?
Julie Christie, that'd be awesome. Julie Newmar. This Catwoman is 2004 comic book movie starring Halle Berry as Selina Kyle, the Catwoman, don't you know? Also starring Sharon Stone and Benjamin Bratt and directed by Pietoff. Pietoff. One word. Pietoff. Yeah. Shockingly, this was the only film directed by Pietoff. Pietoff. Why do you want us to watch this Pietoff movie? Gunnar Pearson. He says, Catwoman is possibly the very worst comic book movie ever made. It is a complete cinematic failure. This movie fails at literally everything that makes a movie. Catwoman is similar to Cats, which we reviewed a couple years ago, because it is so fucking horny for no reason. Like Catwoman also has the most editing of any movie that has ever been made. Literally, the only positive thing I can say about this movie is that sometimes it is so shitty that it made me laugh at it. IMDb synopsis of Catwoman by Pietoff. A shy woman endowed with the speed, reflexes, and senses of a cat walks a thin line between criminal and hero, even as a detective doggedly pursues her, fascinated by both of her personas. Quirky, have you seen Catwoman? With Halle Berry?
No, I'm aware of Catwoman because pretty much every bad movie podcast has done it. It's stunning that we haven't dared it or done it in all this time.
Yeah. We haven't really done a lot of comic book movies. We did do the New Mutants, aka New Mutants.
But seeing
there's New Mutants. They got where's my old mutants?
It's all new.
What are they doing with them? Sorry. Who says I don't do voices?
Nobody says that.
They're just non-specific voices. It's just I'm doing Phil Hartman character work now.
I have not seen the movie Catwoman, but I've seen Halle Berry in her Catwoman suit, and it made me want to Pietoff.
Hey. I hear you. I have seen Catwoman. I saw it in the theater back in 2004 when it came out.
I used to think you had a good gig with the movie day with the movie reviews.
This was pre film critic stuff. I think I was actually working at the Tower Theater still. So again, free movies. So went and saw just about every damn thing. And yeah, I saw Catwoman directed by Pietoff. And it really is as bad as Gunnar says, because you think, like, how bad could this be? It's Halle Berry, and she's wearing, like, a cat suit. She's fighting Sharon Stone. There's a level of bad that this, there's like a floor to this, and it can only be this bad, and yet the movie somehow crashes through the floor, killing everyone involved. It's just like crashes through the floor of like a hospital and just takes out a lot of like.
It's beyond bad movie. This is now a tragedy. This movie
is a literal tragedy. Yes. It's unbelievably bad. Bad.
There are
bad filmmaking. Like, so ill conceived on so many levels and just so poorly executed.
There are monuments and honorifics built to this movie in the cities that it was filmed in, because it celebrates the tragedy that was of that town. Like, we don't speak much about the Catwoman of 2004. But when we do, we're proud of it.
Right. Gunner, you're the
best.
Thank
you, Gunner. Dare number 12. We're getting near the end of this full course meal. Came to us from a gentleman who's dared us some wonderful movies in the past, Michael Bagamary. Michael's dare is Super Mario Brothers: Great Mission to Rescue Princess Peach. Why did Michael dare us Super Mario Brothers: Great Mission to Rescue Princess Peach? He says, I'm daring you guys to watch Super Mario Brothers. No, not the live action turd. This anime adaptation, which compares very favorably to it indeed, was in fact made nearly 7 years earlier, giving it the historical distinction of being the first movie ever adapted from a video game. It could be the movie that throws the most crazy crap at the viewer that I have ever seen. It could be the movie that throws the most crazy crap at the viewer that I have ever seen. Like me, you'll love it, hate it, and be thoroughly confused. Michael, that dare I loved and hated and was thoroughly confused. The IMDb synopsis for Super Mario Brothers: Mission to Rescue Princess Peach. The Mario Brothers get sucked into their Famicom game and must now rescue Princess Peach from King Bowser Koopa. Okay.
That sounds so good. That sounds really good. I'm really hooked. It's like, have a compelling lead, and then, boy, whoa, hey, I can't stop. I can't stop watching this now. They get sucked into their Famicom game? What is that? I don't know what that is.
I like that Princess the IMDb Koopa, synopsis Bowser, and probably the movie is just like, hey, you know the game? Well, how about somebody playing the game? And that's like it. It presaged watch-alongs, watch plays and stuff like that on YouTube.
Like the characters get sucked into their game? Like what? That doesn't... What?
Are they a game and they get sucked into themselves?
In this one, like the Mario Brothers are, but they're all animated. I'm thoroughly confused. Brainers. You called it, Michael Bagamary. Michael, of course, he's brought us some. We've done a couple of his dares actually in the past. We did Hercules in New York. That's the most recent one. But I believe the single most popular single episode of the show, not counting reruns and other things like that, is Battlefield: Earth. And that was a Bagamary joint. That was a Bagamary dare. That's a great episode, and it's one of our most popular.
It is.
Thank you so much, Michael, for supporting the
show.
Thank
you, Michael. You know from bad movies, and we appreciate you.
You know what you're doing. You know who else knows what he's doing? It's Mr. Positivity.
Hey.
Wolfie T, the Wolf Man. Now, this guy's brought us some hot and heavy hitters in the past. Norbit.
Yep.
That was Wolfie, right? That was
Big Money Hustlers.
Oh, boy. Oh, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
And I'm still very interested in that wrestling movie that he sent us.
Yes, Grunt, I believe it was called. Grunt, the wrestling movie. Yeah, Wolfie, you bring some shit. He's Mr. Positivity. But he's going to be a little negative about this one. It is 13 minutes. This is a 2021 film directed by Lindsay Gosling. Stars Thora Birch, Amy Smart, and Tokala Black Elk. Why you want us to watch these 13 minutes? I mean, if this movie is any longer than 13 minutes, I'm out. Right? It's like, if this movie is 14 minutes, I'm like, nope, too long. He says, 13 minutes is a new movie that I had not even heard of before it popped up on the schedule of my local AMC. Based on the description, it seems like it would be in the ilk of something like Twister. However, it plays out like an educational film on tornado preparedness with Lifetime movie subplots centering on unplanned pregnancy, coming out of the closet and illegal immigration, and they throw in a deaf child for good measure. Experiencing an actual tornado would have been better than this turd.
Bits.
Ding.
Bits.
IMDb synopsis of 13 minutes says, four families in a heartland town are tested in a single day when a tornado hits, forcing paths to cross and redefining the meaning of survival. So yeah, this is not your Roland Emmerich.
No, this is Crash set to a tornado. Oh, boy. That's nuts.
That sounds so bad, but that is a wonderful dare.
Yes.
Wolfie, you're the king. You're doing a great job. More dares. We love them. We need them. We want them.
And I love Wolfie's feedback on all our stuff. He always has some good quips and talks about movies with us.
Good stuff.
And the man loves his Norbit.
He really does. He really, really does. I did not care for Norbit.
All right. The dessert of our full 14-course meal of
this
dares.
This is it. This is a little bit of sorbet the aperitif that we got coming in. Yeah, this is really like the cup of coffee.
Yeah, we actually had
where it's all kind of settling, and now I'm kind of thinking about the ride home. A little
13
bit,
minutes was the dessert. Yes, this is us going for, you know, I'm faking going for my wallet, and you're like, no, I'll get it.
I get the next.
Don't embarrass
one.
Me.
I get the next one.
This. Dare 14 is Excess Baggage, dared to us by the singularly named Nicole.
It's just Nicole?
Yeah. I mean, I know several Nicoles.
Shakira.
But
Shakira.
Shakira, RuPaul.
Nicole.
Cher, Nicole. This is a 1997 movie directed by Marco Brembia, starring Alicia Silverstone, Benicio del Toro, and Christopher Walken. Dan, who's that? Who's that starring?
Christopher Walken.
Here we go, Danny DeVito.
Spot freaking on.
Why did Nicole dare us this movie? Starring Christopher Walken. I'm the only man on earth who can't do a Christopher Walken impersonation.
It's Christopher Walken.
It's cold. That's the only part. That's the only thing I can say. It's cold. Why did Nicole dare us Excess Baggage? She says, this is a nonsensical movie with bad acting, unfunny jokes, and one of the main characters is not a comedic actor, and an oddball plot. I think you guys would have fun with this mess. The IMDb synopsis for Excess Baggage, a bratty teenager fakes her own kidnapping, but gets mistakenly kidnapped for real instead.
There you go.
Dan, you have a lot of baggage.
Excess baggage.
Would you say you've sought out the excess baggage?
Shockingly, I have not seen this movie. I don't know how I haven't seen this movie.
I think I saw this movie on a date like 25 years ago.
Yeah, that would
work. And being surprised at the pairing of Alicia Silverstone and Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, it sounds... I mean, it's one of those things that it's kind of like, it can't be that bad,
yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? There's a lot of people I like in there. It's just going to be some kind of dumb forgettable. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, how did that get so bad? But yeah, no, I'd be curious to watch this one for the show, 1997. So, I mean, it's kind of a genre and an era that we haven't visited too often. So this would be a good one.
A little bit of subversion of the romantic comedy. Because
right.
It's got one of those darker tones to it.
Seemingly, yeah. But I wonder. I really wonder. But thank you very much, Nicole, for the dare. And Corky, that's it. That's all the dares. You've been overserved.
Bucket
clearly,
boy.
With dares. Oh, boy. Oh, here
and
we
round
go again.
Four.
Well, while Corky...
vomits into a bucket.
While Corky vomits... Just cover your mic. Well, that's all we have for you on this episode of Dare Daniel, but we'll be back in 2 weeks to review another one of your movie dares, and you know which one. It's going to be Rabbit Tests by Johnny Flores. But again, if there was a dare that you heard on the show that you think, oh, yeah, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that episode. Get at us. We'll make it happen. You want a second one? You want a third one? Or send us your dare, and we're going to read it. You have a much better chance now that we're into this new format of doing more all dares episodes of actually getting your dare read on the show. Yeah. and getting it read in a more timely fashion. Some of them, I remember when I was putting together the Last Dares episode, there was like some from 2019 and 2018. I was just like, oh,
we're
wow.
So bad.
We never did this one. But yeah, I would love to. We love your dares. We love any feedback about the show. We love to hear what you like and what you don't like. So, Corky, anything we didn't talk about? Anything else that we need to talk about, preview, promote?
I'm eternally and honestly grateful for everybody who contributes to the show, sends us dares, hits the PayPal up, or interacts with us on social media. And in addition to the numbers of people that we talked about tonight sending us dares, I'd love to hear from some of the people that we haven't heard from in a while, you know, like the people that we still love and we love their dares, like Marco Cabodi and Erica from this. She sent us some great movie dares.
She was killing
it. Hall of Fame head hasn't hit us up in a while. So if you're still listening, send us a word, let us know what you're doing, and give us some more good movie dares.
So until we get back at you in 2 weeks with rabbit tests, send your most sadistic or altruistic movie dares to us at daredaniel.com. Be sure to follow Dare Daniel Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We collectively call them the Schmied. It's a shortening of social media. Use that in your life and really just, you'll see the results. You'll see the, track it on a graph somehow. And when you see that graph, however you've decided to structure it, you'll see the results that you get from shortening social media, because my God, that just takes forever. Schmied. You just fly right through it. You save a lot of time. Listen to all the time I'm saving right now. We're just counting off all the seconds of time that I'm saving. One tick, 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 Schmied, Schmied, Schmied. Like and rate us on all of your favorite podcast apps. Read more of my movie reviews on the Dare Daniel website. It's daredaniel.com. Super easy to remember. Corky.
Yes.
You old son of a gun. You old fashioned. You old pirate. You old cutthroat island. You old so-and-so.
You're just doing that thing that Chaz Palminteri does. Or that Verbal Kent did at the end of Usual Suspects. You're just looking around the room. Yo, barbershop quartet from Skokie, Illinois.
Yo, old lamp.
Yo, old broken coffee cup from when he realizes yo, I'm Kaiser poster. Soze.
Yo, old desk fan. Corky, what are you doing? What are you doing? You out there? You living? You being your best self?
I am. I've just got a job as a bucket boy at a new all-vomit restaurant.
That's going to save a lot of time for you, because you will also have a bucket to vomit in whenever you want.
It's our grossest episode. I'm doing shows, performing every Saturday with Anti-Cooperation League, having fun. Come down to the Sacramento Comedy Spot, support local comedy, support local arts, support podcasts, support us, support underwear.
Yep.
Everything.
Do all those things.
Yes. How about you, Dan?
You know, I'm just one day at a time. One day at a time, old man.
Is that the next show you're going to be watching on Peacock after Sanford and Son? That's wop on your feet, wop on your feet.
I'm only mid season two of Sanford and Son, but yeah, I might jump on that. That once upon a once, what? What's the fucking called? Once who you did what?
One day at a time. That was the show where the single mom who had two daughters who looked nothing like her would get sexually harassed by Schneider, the doorman, or the building super every time.
Sure.
And every episode, I remember watching this reruns as a kid, she would do that thing where she would run, like dramatically run after one of her daughters who stormed out. And she would go, damn it. that was her big acting move. Damn it, Julie. I can't do voices, but I can do inflections, folks.
No, he did it. It was fantastic. It was so spot on. Yeah, you know, I'm just I'm doing my thing. I have a new job. I haven't had a lot of time to watch movies of lately. I pretty much am just watching movies for the show. So my understanding of what movies are and what's good and what's bad is becoming quickly corrected.
I should say I've gotten back into watching movies that I love and watching.
That's awesome.
I just watched Chinatown again the other day. Fucking,
that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
The best script of all time. Just unbelievable. Amazing. Every scene you learn a little bit more, and it answers questions, and then it, it brings out new ones. It's amazing. Like,
it's great stuff.
Nothing is wasted in that movie.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Oh, gosh. I would love to watch Chinatown. I got to watch Rabbit Test, though.
That's right. I mean, they're on the same kind of level. That's
same era. Yeah. Same. I mean, something was in the air. What is... I don't know where we are.
We're just about to say goodbye. If anybody's listening right now, they are true troopers.
If anyone's still sticking around, then let me just say, for Dare Daniel, I'm Daniel Barnes.
And I'm Corky McDonald. We love you very much. Thank you for the dares. Thank you for listening.